Oh, the new year. And I said that I would take on the task as the first Sunday in the new year for us. So I thought I'd do it on New Year's resolutions. The page was blank, but it isn't. It isn't blank. And what a good New Year's resolution. We've got a full church. Hooray! Great. That's your first resolution for this year. Just keep it full every week. It's lovely. So I sat down and thought, well, what are my resolutions going to be this year? And I started off with the fact that I resolved this year not to catch a cold, a chest infection, or COVID over the Christmas period, which I did this year. And I thought I'd throw sepsis in just as well at the same time. So, but then I realised, of course, that my problem is all those prayers are out of my control. I really can't influence the bugs that are flying around, either inside or outside the church or in Brentwood. And there's a lot of them around at the present moment. So I've crossed those off my list. It'll be what it'll be. Then I thought I need really to concentrate on the things that I can influence or change. And much of my New Year's resolutions rely on what has happened in the past year, because you think of all the things that haven't gone as they should do, and the things that did, and I'll do them again this year, it's good. And those things that perhaps didn't work particularly well, and you hope perhaps you can correct them this year and into the coming years. And on that basis, my New Year's resolutions are the same as last year. Not because they all failed. Some did, but some didn't. But they're the best resolutions I can come up with. And because they're the ones that have been given to me by the Lord Jesus. They're the good ones. And I seemed to be doing most of them last year. But then I had a little help from my triune friends in making sure they were better than they would have been. But my failures still need to working on. And to get those from the Lord, I've really got to rely on this book to keep me grounded on what I need to and what I don't need to do. So I'm going to lean on a few of those verses this morning and share them with you. And hopefully, if you nod and you agree with them, you'll probably follow me again this year, doing it the same way. The first one was Matthew 22:37. I think it's going up on the board. Yes, it is. And it's one you probably all know off by heart, but I'm going to read it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So you could add the meaning of the commandments at the same time you're thinking of those. And just in case you're hard of hearing, or in reading, you can read it all again in Mark, as well as in Matthew. It's a good reminder. But putting just that sentence into as a daily task is sometimes easy, sometimes hard. And when they're hard, I need a little help from my triune God again, and from my friends. And sometimes I finish up with kind of an emergency short prayer. Sessions come to mind when I feel that I'm not doing what I should be doing, or I haven't done what I should be doing. Loving my God is relatively straightforward, especially as I know he loves me. And my daily prayers and readings help as well. That helps keep my relationship with him where it should be. We're given many references in the Bible as a guide to that. I also bear in mind that if God can love me with my multitude of faults, I say faults, I had the word sins, I thought, I'll say I put faults in, it's much nicer. Multitude of faults, that I should be able to move and love others with their faults as well. And that's much more difficult. I moved on to Matthew 25, just a few pages the other way. When Jesus was talking, he was saying, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, I'm going to move over here, I think they're the right ones. He says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Why? For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. There are lots more I could add to that list probably, but you get the principle of it, that we are help here to help others. That is part of our task that the Lord has laid before us every day of every week of every year. So it's not just one year's resolution. This is why I can carry it forward from one year to the next. Am I doing what God wants me to do? And that's to help people. So what have you mentioned, what people were saying this morning, part of Wednesday as well. What help can I give? Where do you need help? And if you can't see it from here, then open your eyes in the daytime and see where help is needed. There's much more than we could do for our neighbours and our friends, and perhaps we do. Sometimes we just close our eyes and walk the other way because we don't feel we're capable. But many times it is something we can do. The Lord wouldn't be showing it to us if we weren't capable. And it's on the same basis I read in Matthew 5:39. Many of you probably know this as well, but I'll do a bit of explaining it as well. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, and turn to him and also offer the left. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. You may not understand perhaps the last one about going 1 mile and 2 miles. It's purely referring to the Romans when they were on their long marches cross country. They had to carry everything with them. And what was their habit? Was every time they entered the village, they used to grab a local and say, you can carry my cloak, you can carry my rucksack, whatever, for 1 mile. And at the end of that mile, you get to the next village, they take it back off and give it to another person. It saved them carrying everything, but when the locals were doing it. And what Jesus was referring to here, if somebody puts you in that sort of burden position, don't just do it for the mile, do it for 2 miles. Just show them you're happy to do that. It shows who you are and you're willing to share, you're willing to help. If it means slightly more help than you might be asked to give, give more. Give them twice as much. Can you do my shopping today? I'll do it all week for you. This is what he was referring to in that statement there. He wants you to embarrass the evil one. He wants you to do more than is necessary and show who you are as a child of God. Now I say I get a lot of instruction out of this book, and I do. But we've had some wonderful teaching and guidance in the past year in this church. And I want to come back on some of those, because these are the things that I can take from 2023 and take into 2024, because they're important. We learned a lot last year. We were taught a lot, both in prayer, in our teaching on Sunday mornings, during the Wednesday nights. And they're not times for take it, walk away with it, then forget it. There are things to be carried forward as you go forward through life. We learned a lot about prayer last summer, didn't we? And it made a lot of difference for a lot of people. But that wasn't just for that day or for that year. It's forever. How's your prayer life now? Are you talking with God each day? Is your relationship with God getting that much better? Because you are praying each day. And if you're not, then be resolved this year to make it a daily task. Not necessarily once, maybe twice, maybe three times, whatever. Talk to the Lord. Understand what he's looking for in you. And we included Bible reading, didn't we? How do you learn more about God? How do you know him better? It's all in here. It's amazing what you can read in there and say, I never realized that. I never knew that. Or you read something you've read before, but you read it in a different way. And he tells you something different in it. And it's amazing how many times that happens to me in my life. You can read something, see, I take that message from that. And 6 months later, somebody else reads it to you. You think, I never saw that bit before. He's pointed out something I never realized. Always worth reading and reading the same passages. And if you manage to read the whole Bible in 1 year, you just start again the next year. A task and a half. But I know people in his church who do it as a challenge quite often. Read it from start to finish. And then they know they've covered the whole thing. You'll be amazed how much is in there that you've missed the first time round, and the second time round, and the third time round. It all changes. Then later on in the year, we look to the gifts of the Spirit. And they're free availability to each one of us. Now, I know that some were immediately drawn to seek those gifts and found them. Maybe you're one of them. Did you pursue the desire to seek gifts? Did you receive them? And if you did, are you using it? Gifts aren't given to stack up in your back pocket and say, well, I've got that gift. No, they're there for the daily use. Use it. It's a good time to resolve yourself to using the gifts you've got. Because those gifts were given for a reason. And that's because God wants you to use them. Because he wants you to use them because that's his will. He wants you to achieve something with that. So please use the gifts, or seek those gifts if you can. Then we have a special daily repentance. Then we learn that, you know, we're really only on a one-to-one basis with God when our hearts and our souls and our minds are clean. You can only do that through repentance for things you've got wrong. There's no point storing up to the end of the week. You've kind of clouded 6 days in between of your relationship with God. Do repent on a daily basis. You know, we have that Lord's Prayer he gave to us, forgive me my trespasses. It's a daily prayer. And it's not just wherever they were. It's a question of saying, Lord, this was wrong today. I should not have done that. And I resolve not to do it again. So it's a good daily resolution as well as an annual one. Please pray and ask, seek forgiveness for sins on a daily basis. Clear the decks, ready for the next day. Very important for us. And equally so, you know, we talk about forgiveness and asking to be forgiven. But if our minds haven't sought forgiveness of the Lord, how on earth are we ever going to forgive somebody else? The two go together. The more we are forgiven, the more we can forgive. And we are asked to forgive. So please do those two things together. And then running all the way through last year, in all those sessions, and again it's been said this morning two or three times, it's a prerequisite every year in our lives, and that's love. It comes into everything we do day by day, and we know that the light of God's love overshadows anger, it overshadows bitterness, it buries rage, it buries dislike, but it does encourage forgiveness. It encourages grace, and it encourages union. I say union of us being as one, as a church, of all Christians being as one. We create a very large, powerful union together. And in the early chapter that we read this morning, you love your God. And because you love your God, you can receive his love. It's an awfully big love. It's awfully big. And if we get that love, because we can share it with our neighbours, we can share it with our friends. Love your neighbour, love your brother, and love yourself. How many people don't love themselves? If God can love you, why can't you love yourself? I'll come back to that one in a moment as well. I could go on to 1 Corinthians 13 and spend another 10 minutes talking about what is love. But I think most of you already know that by heart anyway, what love is. Bear in mind, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, it's spelled out, love is this, love is that. It's spelling out what God's love is. This is God's love, and he chapter it down. And all you're then going to tell me, that's his love, and that's the love he wants to give to me. And that's the same love he wants me to give to somebody else. So that chapter becomes a very important part of my life day by day, and that's to love everybody I can. He wants you to love. He expects you to love. Every day, of every week, of every month, and in 2024. I sometimes feel that to attain all the Father asks is a little too much. But I'll leave you with a prayer that Arlene and I got sent to us at Christmas this year, which is not quite summarised it all, but I think it's quite a valid, very short prayer, and it's called the Other Serenity Prayer. It's done by somebody unknown, but I think it's very valid. God grant me the serenity to stop beating myself up for not doing things perfectly, and courage to forgive myself because I'm working on doing better, and the wisdom to know that you already love me just the way I am. Well, that's the task for 2024, as far as I'm concerned, and I hope for you it becomes the same sort of plan. So if you haven't got any resolution lined up, then think of the ones we've done today. Think of the things we learnt in this church in 2023. They're just important. Remember the love of God through it all. And a blessed Wednesday. I hope that's good as well. Thank you.